4. Amos 4, 4. No, it's okay. Amos 4, verse 4. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. Let the priest a message on why you can backslide. Of course, most of it is going to be tongue-in-cheek, but hopefully it will prove a point. Here he tells them, come to Bethel and transgress. Boy, there's a verse, huh? How's that for a memory verse or devotional? He tells them, come and sin. Come and multiply transgression at Gilgal. He says, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And the whole reason behind it is simply, for this liketh you. That would fit modern Christianity. Whatever you like, if you like it, if it feels good, do it. And he says, if this liketh you, go ahead and do it. And I'm going to preach on why you can backslide. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for us that we could be saved. Thank you, Lord, that he saved us from a hell that was eternal and gave us eternal life and predestinated us to be conformed to His image, Lord. We thank you, dear God, that one of these days we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Right now, we bear the image of the earthly, Lord. And we seek to, by faith, Lord, recognize the truth that our old man is crucified with Christ and that we live a new life. And the life that we live now is we live by the faith of the Son of God. For us to live as Christ and to die as gain, Lord, we seek by faith to not only believe and profess those things, but actually to live them out in a practical sense in everyday living, Lord. And we pray that you'd minister to us tonight and help us to see the truth of these things. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Give me unction and power from on high to say the things that need to be said in the way that you want them said, Lord. And I pray that your people would have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message that you have for them. We ask it in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Okay, why you can backslide. Number one, it's easy for you. Perfectly easy. There's nothing easier. It's natural. Matter of fact, you really don't have to do anything to backslide. You just continue doing what you're doing. And, you know, you basically will be backslidden. You know, the world revolves against the sun. The sun being a type of Jesus Christ, the world revolves against him. Jesus Christ said, if you're not with me, he that is not with me is against me, and he that is, you know, etc. And you don't have to necessarily commit something to be backslidden. You can just stand still. And the world revolves against Jesus Christ. You know what? You have to swim upstream. You have to go against this world in order to live the normal Christian life. So in order to backslide, it's perfectly easy. It's perfectly natural. Just do whatever your flesh wants to do. And you'll be backslidden. Another reason why you can backslide is, number two, is you never have had good fellowship with God, have you? I mean, have you never experienced the sweet hour of prayer and a time of when with Jesus Christ in the garden that they sing in the hymn books, you know? I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You didn't know anything about that, and you'd never experienced anything like that, right? So, I mean, it's perfectly fine for you to backslide. You've got justification for it, right? If you've never experienced any good fellowship with God, I wouldn't blame you if you decided to backslide on him because he'd never ever done anything for you. Has he ever done anything for you? Well, if he hasn't, then you have a perfectly good reason to backslide. Number three, God doesn't treat you as well as he treats other people. He doesn't treat you as good as he treats Brother Adam. Maybe he hadn't given you a new house, or maybe you have a jalopy to drive around. Maybe you don't have fine clothes. Maybe you don't eat as well. I don't know what it is. But God hadn't treated you as good as he's treated some other folks, so you have a perfectly good reason to be backslidden, right? I mean, you can backslide. And number four, you've got experience with it. You know, living a Christian life, that's something new. That's something brave. That's something bold. That's going somewhere where no man has gone before, so to speak. And to backslide, that's just an everyday experience. Everybody's done that. So it's not like you're going into new waters by backsliding. It's just something that's familiar and you've had experience with it. They asked Brother Jack Wood one time, they said, do you believe in that a Christian can backslide? You know, this is a crowd that was trying to get him on eternal security and trying to talk him out of eternal security. And so they asked him, they said, well, do you believe that a Christian can, it's possible for a Christian to backslide? And he said, sure, I not only believe it, I practice it. And that's the way a lot of God's people are. And that's the way, I've got experience backsliding. If I wanted to backslide, it would be simply the easiest thing that I could do tonight. The easiest thing you could do tonight would be backslide. And just quit on God and quit doing serving Jesus Christ. Just give in to the old flesh. The flesh, let the flesh have its way, and you'd be backslidden. Number two, the reason why you ought to backslide, not only is it easy, but number two, you're so important. I mean, you're really important, aren't you? I mean, you're more important than God's. You're more important than God's people are. Sure, they're watching you, but no one has done as much as you have for the Lord, and so you've earned it. Nobody's as important as you are, and only one life will soon be passed. So you might as well waste what you have on self, right? That's the way a lot of people look at it, a lot of backsliders. They may not profess it, but I guarantee you that's what's going through their mind. That's what's in their heart. Otherwise, they'd be here. Otherwise, they'd be serving God. Otherwise, they'd praise the Lord. But a person that's backslidden, you know who's numero uno in their life? Them. And so you can backslide because you're so important. And, after all, you've worked hard all week and, man, everybody's, just tired, and when the weekend comes along, it's time for church. It's just easy to lay out and be backslidden. And why should you pass out tracts? I mean, you're a silent witness anyway, and if those people are going to get saved out there, they're going to get saved whether you tell them or not, so you might as well just backslide, right? I mean, you're so important. Number three, not only is it easy, not only is it because you're important that you should that you can backslide, but number three, the Bible foretold it. Way long ago, when the Apostle Paul wrote down those verses, he said that in the last days there would be a falling away first. Oh, you got to fulfill Scripture, don't you? And see, there's now a perfect opportunity for you to backslide, because the Bible said that in the last days, perilous times would come and that there would be a falling away first. And he's talking about Christians. And you're a Christian, so, I mean, you might as well fall away. Might as well be among that backslidden number. He said in the last days, the love of many would wax cold. And, it's work to try to love some of God's people. They're a cantankerous group. They're hard to get along with. It's just much, much easier to let your love wax cold and just fulfill Scripture in that method. And after all, we are in the Laodicean church age, and you know what that's all about. And rights of the people, and you got your rights, and it's your right. The Bible foretold it. You might as well backslide and fulfill Scripture. Jesus Christ said offenses must come. He did say, woe to the man by whom they come. But, I mean, look at the first part of that verse now. Offenses must come. So if somebody's got to backslide, it might as well be you. Number four, everybody else is. I mean, think of somebody. Can you think of anybody that's not backslidden? Think about it. I mean, everybody else is backslidden. The 12 disciples, the night Jesus Christ was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, the whole group forsook him and fled. Why does everybody pick on Peter? Everybody picks on Peter. Man, he's the backslider. He cursed. He denied Christ. But you know, every one of them left him. So, I mean, there's no use in singling out just old Peter just because he had a bad mouth and a bad testimony. Everybody was backslid that night. Amen? Except for John. I mean, John went all the way, but we can't all be like John. Most of us fit Simon Peter's mold. Some of us, we may even fit Judas's mold. Who knows? But the truth of the matter is, they all backslid. They all forsook him. You ever hear that the cry of teenagers is everybody else is doing it, everybody else is doing it? I mean, everybody else is watching TV, why can't you? Everybody else is watching movies, why can't you? Everybody else is reading the dirty books, why can't you? Isn't it funny that you never hear, when was the last time you heard everybody else is praying? When was the last time you heard, well, Mom, everybody else is reading their Bible? You never hear that. You know why? Because everybody else isn't. Everybody else is backslidden. You might as well backslide. Everybody else is. I mean, there's this farmer. He had a pond out in his backyard. And one night he was trying to go to sleep. And his frogs, man, were making so much noise. Ribbit, 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 ribbit. And for sounded like a million frogs out there. And he just cursed and put his pillow over his head. And he put his pillow over his head. And all he'd hear was ribbit, 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 ribbit. Finally, out of desperation, he went out there the next day and he drained that pond. And when he drained that pond, there were only two frogs in it. And he said, well, man, how big is this? There's only two of you. It sounded like there was 100. And that's the way the world is. They make so much racket, you think everybody else is doing it. Well, everybody isn't doing it. There are some people that aren't. You say, well, who? I ain't. I'm one. So you can't say everybody else is. But everybody else is backsliding, so you might as well backslide, right? And number five, you can still maintain your image, your outward image with the crowd that you hang with and still be backslidden. Isn't that convenient? I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but this is what I got. So you can still maintain that image. I mean, the Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his ways. You don't have to backslide openly. I mean, we don't expect Lee to get a mohawk and start piercing his earrings and nipples and belly button and toenails and start smoking dope. No, we don't expect that. You can just backslide in heart. And nobody in here would even realize it. The Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his ways. You know, old, what's his name? I can't even remember. I'm so backslidden. That fellow back in the Old Testament had shields of gold and came in and showed all of his buddies the shields of gold. I believe it was Hezekiah. And what happened was this fellow came in and stole the gold. And instead of going and fighting and for a worthy cause to get the gold back, he just put up shields of brass. And he just kept those shields of brass real shiny. And as long as they shined, I mean, it impressed everybody in the palace. And unless you looked real close or maybe kicked it or hit it with a piece of metal, you couldn't tell it wasn't gold. I mean, the only person that knew it wasn't really gold was the king. But he was content to just put up with brass and be satisfied with brass. You can still maintain your outward image with the crowd that you hang with. You can still appear to be spiritual and still be as backslidden as the devil himself. You ought to backslide. Martin Luther said one time, he says, I think every Christian ought to get slop drunk at least once a year, just so the devil quit giving them problems. There's another verse for eternal security. Now, I'm not recommending you get drunk, but I'm telling you what, I'm preaching just this first part on why you can backslide. Like I'm saying, I'm preaching tongue-in-cheek. I don't expect you to go out and do it, but there's some reasons if you're looking for them. Number six, you can backslide because you've been planning it for months. The Bible says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Jesus Christ said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And wherever you have your heart, that's where your treasure is. And the prodigal son, his heart was in the far country long before his body got there. I'm sure he'd look at the far country through television or magazines or somebody would get him the news of the far country. I mean, he'd spent all of his life on that farm with his father. What would he know about far country? Nobody, none of his father's servants had ever been there. His father didn't tell him about it. Where in the world did he get the information from the far country from? I don't know, but I tell you this. His heart was there long before he got the cash from his dad and went there bodily. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his ways. And he planned it, boy. He planned it for months. Yeah, I'm sure he had that trip, the whole trip planned before he even went and asked his father for the portion of goods that came to him. And it'd just be a shame to interrupt your planning with getting right with God. I mean, if you've planned on backsliding, you might as well go through with it, amen? I mean, why would you avail yourself of the escape route that God gave you? I mean, God, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, and will with the temptation provide a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. But I mean, you went through all the trouble to set everything up. Why would you want to escape it now? It's a hard crowd tonight. Yeah. Number seven. You can backslide because you love misery. Now, everybody loves misery. I mean, that's all they play on the radio all day long is the blues. Oh, my darling left me and I lost my job and killed the dog and the truck broke. And that's all everybody listens to on the radio nowadays is the blues. Everybody likes to sing the blues, especially Christians. And if you love misery, there's no other better way to experience it than to just backslide. The Bible says there's no peace to the wicked, saith my God. So if you're tired of peace, tired of just the whole humdrum, you know, every day in and out serving the Lord, just backslide and you'll life will get exciting, amen. Things will start moving. You know, there's some. You ever see somebody's kid and it seems like they love to get spanked? You ever see anybody like that? You ever see any kids like that? They'll just act up so wild so their parents will whip them. And their parents beat the tar out of them. And the kids act like, hey, they liked it. They're like sickos, you know? They're unnatural. I mean, you know, the average parent, you look at the kid crooked and they start, you know, grabbing a behind and shirking away and slinking away. But there's some kids that are just so cantankerous, they enjoy a beating. And some of God's children are that way. They just love misery. They love a good beating, and they just they get backslidden because they think they're going to hurt their father. It's not that they're out there enjoying the world or anything. They think they can get even with God for having His way instead of letting them have their way. The Bible says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. There are some people that are just their worst enemy, and they oppose themselves. And if you love misery, you ought to backslide. Now here's some reason. I said all that to say this. You shouldn't backslide. And there's some reasons why you can't backslide. And the number one reason is the Savior. You know, in spite of all those pros for backsliding, in spite of all those reasons why you probably could and should, there's one thing that remains: your Savior. Your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. You know what keeps me right? Jesus Christ and nothing else. You know what keeps you right? Jesus Christ and nothing else. You know why you can't backslide? Because you got a Savior that you're going to look in His eyes one day and you're going to have to give an account. And you know what? You want to give an account with joy. You don't want to be a disappointment to Him. You don't want to have to drop your head in shame and not be able to look your Savior in the eyes, the one that loved you and the one that died for you and the one that shed His blood at Calvary and took the beatings and had the beard ripped out of His face and people spit on Him and laugh at Him and mock Him, and your enemies mock Him and laugh at Him today, and the unsaved that you try to witness to and pour out your heart to, they mock Him and they laugh at Him. You know why? Somebody's got to stand for the Savior. Somebody's got to stand for Jesus Christ, and it might as well be me and you. Amen? It might as well. The Bible says, I am His and He is mine. In the Song of Solomon, I read that thing, and that's a love story between Christ and His church. And it says, this is my beloved and this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. How could a person say that? How could a person experience those emotions? How could a person experience the love that Jesus Christ showed for their soul on a daily, moment-by-moment basis and then backslide? I don't understand it. I don't see how they can. And that's why I can't, and that's why you can't. I mean, all you have to think about is the blood. All I have to say to keep you from all I should have to say to keep you from backsliding is two words: the blood. The blood. What about the blood? You can't just forget the blood, brother. You can forget a lot of things. You can forget the goodness of God. You can trample over the blessings of God on your life. You can trample over the oxygen that you breathe and the air that enters your lungs. You can forget about the blessings of the food you ate this today and at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. But there's something you can't forget, and that's the blood. And that thing right there will keep you from backsliding. That's why you can't backslide. Calvary. You can't backslide. I mean, there's too many Christians that already have, and it burdens my soul, and it's a crying shame, and it's a dirty, foul, filthy shame when you think about a Christian that has given up on Christ and has gone back into the world and is backslidden. There's nothing more wretched, there's nothing more wicked, there's nothing more sorry, and there's nothing more tragic than somebody who's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and has tasted the Word of God and knows a lot of doctrine from the Word of God, knows the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ, and in the face of all of that and Calvary, they backslide and forget God. I don't think there's anything more tragic. The love of Christ constrains. You can't backslide because of the Savior. I tell you what, number two, you can't backslide because of the saints. And I ain't talking about the football team. Man, if I was hanging on to them, boy, I'm telling you what, I'd be in the gutters, wouldn't you? You can't backslide because of the saints, the fellow saints in the body of Christ that are looking for you in His example. Paul says, be thou an example of a believer. Well, listen, man, somebody's looking at you. Somebody's watching you. Somebody younger, somebody older, somebody is dependent upon you to hold your own. And if you give up, what's to keep them from giving up? If you quit running the race, what's to keep them running the race? They're looking at you. Paul said, conscience not my own, but my brother's sake. He says, I'll eat no meat while the world standeth if it causes my brother to fall. You know what he was thinking of? Not himself, the next guy. And that's why you can't backslide, because somebody's watching you. The saints are watching you. The saints are dependent upon you, man. Lady, you have a testimony. It may be shot full of holes, but I'm telling you what, it is the testimony of a saved sinner, saved by the grace of God. And if you quit, if you backslide, yeah, you'll be saved, but you'll be sorry. And you'll be miserable. And you'll cause others to fall. No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself, the Bible says. You can't quit, you can't backslide because of the saints. Number three, you can't backslide because of the sinners. Yeah, the sinners. You say, well, that's probably the reason I want to backslide. No, you think about it. There are lost men and women, boys and girls, that look at you and know your testimony, and you've witnessed to them, and they haven't got saved, but they're watching you. And if you backslide, you might as well kick them into the lake of fire yourself. You got little kids watching. You got the Bible says in Jeremiah, they watch, all my familiars watch for my halting. You know what they were looking at Jeremiah? Just waiting for him to quit. Why? So that they would have an excuse not to trust God, not to believe what God said. And some of you are the only Bible that the lost is ever going to read. And if you quit, if you backslide, they're going to go to hell. And you can't backslide because of the sinners. Number four, you can't backslide because of your family or your siblings. Everybody in here has got mama, daddy, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, nephew, niece, son, daughter. Somewhere or another, there's family watching you. There's little kids watching you. Everybody here, when you were a little kid, somewhere or another, you got into some adults, whether it was your mom or dad, you got into their shoes and walked around in the big shoes like Bozo. Katie does it all the time. I mean, and there wasn't anybody in the family whose shoes she didn't walk in. She'd walked in mine, she'd walked in Penny's, she walked in Mama's, she walked in Esther's, she walked in Christopher. I mean, everybody. If you left shoes sitting around, if she was here right now, she'd grab Miss Jackie's shoes and start walking around in them. You know what that is? That's a perfectly natural tendency for a little kid to want to step into some adult shoes and walk. You know what it makes them feel like? Hey, I'm big. I'm big. I'm big time. I'm a grown-up. Look, I'm walking in my daddy's shoes. And they still, you know, they're only, what, a foot tall. But you know what? When they step into them shoes, they feel like they're 5 foot five. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, you can't backslide because you got family watching you. And there are kids that are wanting to step into your shoes and walk the way you walk. And then one of these days, they're going to be just like you. If you backslide, they'll backslide. If you hold that which is highly esteemed among men as an abomination in the sight of God, if you hold something above Jesus Christ, you know what that kid is going to grow up and do? He's going to hold something above Jesus Christ. If you have something, some other activity or entertainment that's more precious to you than church, that kid is going to learn that and follow that. And by the time they're teenagers, you won't be able to drag them in here. Why? Because they've been watching you. You can't backslide. You can't afford to backslide. Because of your Savior, because of the saints, because of the sinners, because of your siblings, and number five, because of your sanity. If you backslide, you lose your mind. If you backslide, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, if you backslide, the peace is gone. The peace of mind is gone. The peace of mind that you're enjoying right now as a benefit of being saved and living for Christ, don't take that for granted, brother, sister, because it can be gone like that if you backslide. Old David, long before he went to with Bathsheba, long before he committed that sin of adultery, I'd say maybe a week before he committed sin with Bathsheba. You know what happened? It was the time where kings go to battle, and he didn't go. He decided to stay home. He decided he'd been, you know, out in war long enough and needed a rest, needed a break, took a little vacation. And that's why he got in the trouble with Bathsheba that he got into. Because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. He should have been out there fighting. If he'd have been out there fighting like he should have been, he wouldn't have experienced the battle scars that he experienced staying at home. And what am I saying? You better keep your sanity. That man David is crying and weeping and gnashing his teeth, and there's a baby that's about to die, and he's crying and he's saying, oh God, oh God. What's all that about? Sin. Oh my son Absalom, would to God I died for thee. Oh Absalom, my son. What's that all about? Sin.
Thou art the man. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving. Blot out my transgressions and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. What's all that about, David? Sin? Backsliding? You don't want any of that, do you?
You really don't. Wouldn't it be much safer just to stay right there? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You know, all that blessedness. Why would you want to go to Psalm 51 when you got Psalm 23? Backslide and you'll end up there. The Bible says about the prodigal son, he's sitting in that hog slop, and it says when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I know what I'll do. I'll arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But it says, when he came to himself, you know what that shows me? It shows me before then he was nuts. He had lost his mind. He was insane. And a backslider is insane. You know why he's insane? Because everybody else is disregarded, and it's only self that he's seeking to please. And when you're only seeking and consumed with self and the flesh, you might as well write it down. You are a nutcase. You know why people are in asylums tonight? Because it's all inward. Me, my problems. I'm important. I'm God. That's what they think. It's all me. You know how they get out of those places? They start seeing somebody else with problems and trying to help them out. And they get cured. Some of God's people are heading for a loony bin. And the reason is because they're so consumed with self, they don't have any room for anybody else. Even Jesus Christ. Last of all, you can't backslide because of your Savior. You can't backslide because of the saints. You can't backslide because of the sinners. You can't backslide because of your siblings. You can't backslide because of your sanity. And last of all, you can't backslide because of Satan. The enemy of your soul is waiting with just anticipation and licking his chops at any Christian who throws in the towel and quits on God. He's just waiting to devour him. Don't give him the pleasure of victory in your life. You read the book of Job, God has taken and pulled back the curtain on the spiritual realm and shown you what takes place on a daily basis. And that is, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him, a just man, one that eschews evil, and all that stuff. And Satan says, well, does Job fear God for naught? Thou set a hedge about him, etc., etc., and take all this stuff from him, and he'll curse it to your face. And the Lord says, all right, you can do that, but don't touch him because he's mine. And the devil leaves and smites everything Job has, kills his kids, takes all of his possessions, and Job says, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Satan goes back, and God says, didn't you see what he did? He didn't quit. And the devil says, yeah, you won that round, but strike him with an incurable disease and watch him. Job, you know, He might have handled that good, but he's still a healthy man. You hit him where it hurts, the flesh. Hit him self. Destroy self. Get him. And he'll curse you. And the Lord says, all right, you can take his health, take it all away, do everything you can to him, but you don't kill him. That's my business. And the devil leaves, and he smites Job from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, and Job still doesn't curse God. And you know what God does? At the end of that thing, he restores to Job twice as much as he had before, resurrects his kids and gives him twice as many, ends up blessing him and makes him richer than he ever was. And the Lord points a finger in Satan's face and says, I win, you lose. The devil goes off cursing, blankety blank curses, foiled again. I'll find somebody else I can mess with. He looks around, he sees somebody, and he comes up to heaven. The Lord says, hast thou considered my servant Abraham? There's none like him, a just man, one that eschews evil and fears God. And the devil, he says, yeah, I've seen him. He says, but you know what? You think Abraham loves you? He doesn't love you as much as my people love me. He says, I got people down there sacrifice their babies to me in the Ganges River. They'll take them and drown them. I got people down there sacrifice their babies to Molech and burn them alive. You don't have anybody that loves you that much. And God says, Abraham loves me that much. And the devil says, I don't believe it. Prove it. And the Lord says, all right, I will. He comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, Abraham. He says, here am I, Lord. He says, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering at the place where I'll show you of. And Abraham says, okay, I'll do it. And he gets up. The next day, he takes his son. You know the story. God stops him at the last minute and says, now I know that you fear me because you've not withheld your only son. And the Lord points a finger in the devil's face and says, I win, you lose. Comes down through history and he sees Jesus Christ and the Lord says, hast thou considered my servant Jesus, that there's none like him in all the earth, a just man, one that fears God and eschews evil? And the devil says, yeah, I'll make him quit. And he goes down into that Roman praetorium where this Pontius Pilate soldiers are gathered around the Son of God, and they're punching him in the face, and they got him blindfolded, and they're hitting him, and they're saying, prophesy, O Christ, who hit you? And Christ keeps his mouth shut. And inside there's a war brewing and the devil saying, quit, quit, they're not worth it. Quit, you can destroy them. They're not worth it. Quit, I'll make you quit. And Lord Jesus Christ, without uttering a word to those men, as they buffet him and as they slap him and as they pull their beard out and as they hit him with the whip, he's in the spiritual realm, looks the devil straight in the eyes and says, who is my enemy? Let him come near. I can take more than this. You want a piece of me? Let's come on. Let's mix it up. And the devil gives everything he has and puts everything on Christ that he can put. Even the sins of the whole world are dumped on Christ, and he doesn't quit. And at the end of the thing, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. And at the devil says, well, we got rid of him at least. And he's buried. And then 3 days later, Jesus Christ points a finger in the devil's face and says, I win, you lose. One day you're going along and somebody gives you the Word of God and the devil says, you don't want to believe that. You don't want to believe that mess. That's just a bunch of fairy tales, man. That's something that your grandpa told you. But something inside of your heart speaks the truth to you and you say, yep, I want to get saved. And you bow the knee and you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask Him to be your Savior. You might have been a little kid, you might have been an old person, but when you received Jesus Christ, the Lord pointed a finger in the devil's face and said, I win! You lose! He's mine. You can't have it. Now you got another situation. And now the Lord says, hast thou considered my servant Luke? Hast thou considered my servant Lee? My servant Kathleen? My servant Seth? My servant Linda? My servant Ashley? My servant Ellen? Sorry. Hast thou considered my servant Adam? Hast thou considered my servant Jackie? And the devil says, yeah, they'll backslide. I'll turn up the heat. I can get them to backslide. The Lord says, how are you going to do it? Oh, I'll make them embarrassed to witness. I'll make them embarrassed to sing. I'll make them too tired to read the Word of God. You know what? I'll just entertain them and fill their time with a bunch of frivolous, temporal frivolity. What other kind of words you can stick in there? I'll just get them to put it off till tomorrow. And the Lord says, you know what? I don't think they'll do it. I think they got enough sense. They got my Word. They got the Spirit. They're saved. They're blood washed. They're my children. But you know what? I'll go ahead and do your best. Try it out. See if they'll backslide. Now let me ask you this. Is the Lord going to be able to point a finger in the devil's face and say, I win! You lose. Or is the devil going to be able to point a finger in the Lord's face and say, yeah, you may have won a whole bunch, but I won this one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message tonight. And I pray, Lord, that if any of us here, anything between us and our Savior, anything between our soul and you, Lord, that you'd reveal it to us and help us to repent of it and to turn and run to Jesus Christ so that the devil wouldn't have a foothold in our life, Lord. And we thank you for the Word. And thank you for the preaching of the Word, Lord, that causes us to reflect upon these things and to be zealous for Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help us to be reminded of the blood that He shed at Calvary for our souls and the price that the saints of old have paid for the book that we have and the blessings that we have. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us not to squander these things on our own lusts, but help us, Lord, to use them for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd bless your people and help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, let's sing a song. 3:21. Now, if the Lord's spoken to your heart, we don't necessarily have an altar where you can pray, but I mean, if you want to, you can pray while we sing, or while we sing these words, you do some self-examination and see if there is anything between you and the Lord that you need to take care of. Maybe you've just kind of been doing nothing, like I said earlier. You know, you don't really have to go out in the world and be all wicked and carnal to be backslidden. You just have to do nothing. Just do nothing. And if that the devil has fooled you and lulled you into a complacency or some kind of rut where you're inactive for Jesus Christ, you're backslidden. And the Lord doesn't want you that way. Let's sing number 321.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Amen. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene, though it may cost me much tribulation. I am resolved there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between in many hard trials. Though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Amen. Seth, would you close in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, we thank you today, Lord. Thank you for the message. As to watch over family and friends, Lord. Watch out for Brother Rob and his family, Lord. As they're not traveling back today, Lord, but when they do travel back, ask you to watch over those. Ask you to watch over the church.